Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Oh, welcome along, everybody. We haven't been around much, but we still have been watching football, still keeping an eye on transfers. So here we are, various reasons why we haven't been around. So sorry for that. Lovely to see you, Terry. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We've got some interesting transfers to go through and a little bit of no news on the TV front for viewers in England, Ireland and Scotland and Wales.
That breaking no news.
Yes, breaking no news, which is just on. What's the date? We are literally recording this on July the 7th. The fixtures are out, but we don't know if you're going to be able to watch the fixtures in any particular country. Anyway, it's extraordinary. But you can watch the World Club Cup. Has it grown on you, Terry, the World Club Cup?
I guess so. As it's gone on and the better games are being played, yeah, I guess it has. It's something to watch on television. It's should it be this way? Probably not, if I'm being honest. I'm finding it really confusing still because is it next season? Is it last season? I see Kylian Mbappe come off the bench and scored the other night and it came up the graphic, 44th goal of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is last season or is it next season?
I think we're definitely on last season still, aren't we? I think that's, yeah. But then next season is very soon, isn't it?
Particularly. Exactly.
But the interesting, another knock-on effect, we'll have to remember to look at this in the future, the knock-on effect for these clubs playing in this. Now, traditionally, clubs have a pattern, don't they, where you have some rest, you come back, you do pre-season, you go again, and that's sort of the pattern, and then rest and then go again.
Yeah.
The clubs have already been ruining that, haven't they, by going, let's do a tour here and a tour there, pre-season, post-season, and all of this kind of stuff. And I guess they would say, the medical science is better now. We don't have to follow the old pattern. It'd be interesting to see whether the clubs who've played in this, particularly now Real Madrid, PSG, who've gone a long way, whether they suffer next season. Sure. Honestly, no idea.
I think it will benefit them at the start of the season.
Mm.
But even now, I mean, they're going to have a 2 or 3 week gap between the new season starting. How do they continue to train? Do they have a week off? Do they have another break? Do they have any pre-season matches? Because it's probably going to be too long since this tournament ends and the first game of the season. There'll have to be other games. I'm waiting to see which one of these teams. I'm waiting to see Atletico Madrid went out quite early to see whether they're going to be playing a friendly in New Orleans or something just before the season starts and flying back to the States. I don't know how the clubs are going to do it. I really don't. I think it'll benefit them at the start, but I think as the season goes on, I'm not predicting that they will suffer, but I'm anticipating a downturn at some stage.
Yeah. I don't know why, you know, for example, Mbappe being ill. I'm not his doctor. I can't track being ill to overwork. But do you think with some of these guys, when are they going to rest?
Exactly.
When are they going to have an extended period of rest?
And I think the reason for my lack of enthusiasm, I was away on holiday and I was doing better things and going up and watching Real Madrid at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The kickoff times are slightly bizarre as well. They're planning the boiling hot weather in the afternoon, midweek matches. They're giving away tickets for some games. You see Real Madrid game, a game on television, it's full up. The whole stadium is white. You can really, it really does highlight who the big clubs in the world are. Mm-hmm. And Real Madrid are one of them. So it's missing Barcelona from the tournament. It's missing Man United. It's missing Liverpool from this tournament. You do, when you have a tournament of this type, it does highlight the big clubs in the world. And I couldn't get the enthusiasm up. Now I'm back from holiday, and I will watch. I watch the Gold Cup and stuff like that, that's been going on. And it's football on television. But I think we all need a break, to be honest. Not just the players and the coaching staff. I think supporters in general want a break that, you know, so like the players, like the management, you have that break and you come back with renewed enthusiasm, excitement. There's new players. You've got new teammates. As a supporter, you've got new players that you've signed. I think just in general, we are in danger, I think, of overkilling it and having all year round football. I think it's different when it's the World Cup and European Championships. But seeing Harry Kane playing for England within 2 days, he was in Orlando and he was training with Bayern Munich and other players of that type that were playing the international games straight after the season ended, straight into this Club World Cup. The German teams, Bayern Munich, for example, and Dortmund have just gone out. It's not as bad because they get a decent break at Christmas. It's not just a week or two, like in Spain, or a weekend off. They have a significant mid-season break because there's less teams in the league. But it is going to be really interesting to see. It's, you know, for Real Madrid, we're going to be featuring. We're seeing some differences.
Yeah, so let's, shall we move on to them? Let's do, so he's had, what, 5 games now, Xabi Alonso? Yeah. I thought the first game was, it looked a bit awkward. I enjoyed their performance against Dortmund. The blot was some careless defending that ended up, could have cost them the game at the end because the ref kept finding more time to add on. And so, but they looked a much superior team to Dortmund, and they played some lovely football. And selection dilemma, Terry.
No, it's not. I keep laughing. I know you reeled me in then when the Gonzalo Garcia, fabulous tournament. Yeah. There was an element of pre-season type. It's now getting to the serious stuff. He's a young 21-year-old striker, the new Real. He's been likened to Real by Xabi Alonso. But there's not going to be a selection dilemma there. Mbappe's been ill and he's not being rushed back into the action. And there's no way on earth that Xabi Alonso is going to pick Gonzalo Garcia on a regular basis over Kylian Mbappe. Not a chance. It'd be interesting to see what happens to Gonzalo Garcia. He does look really good. They've got Alvaro Rodriguez back, who was on loan at Getafe, who's a year younger. I like him as well. I think there's two promising young strikers there. Keep one of them in the squad, send one out on loan. It depends on what Xabi Alonso does. I would imagine at the moment Alvaro Rodriguez, because he's not in this squad, will probably go out on loan again. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, there's no way Kylian Mbappe, 44 goals this season, we're still in this season, if we're going to clear that. Top scorer in La Liga, they're paying him hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, millions and millions of pounds a year. There's no way Xabi Alonso is going to not play him. And why would he? I mean, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant footballer. There is an issue, I think, in the way that they're playing. There's some hybrid players in there, so that's going to take some time. They're playing a different type of football, moving the ball quicker. Arda Güler has been fabulous in midfield role. I'm slightly confused about the midfield setup, if I'm being honest. And I'm slightly confused about the position of Vinicius.
Okay, well. So tell us the rough, start with the formation. So how are they setting up? What are they trying to do? And then we'll get on to Vinny.
Well, it's a three at the back, three central defenders. And Tchouaméni is one of those hybrid players that's playing is in the centre of the two, Housen to the left, Rudiger to the right, Tchouaméni in the middle. At times he steps into midfield well, so it reverts back to a two-man centre-back pairing. But more often than not, he's in the middle of them, and he is the third one. But as I say, it does, when they're in possession, he steps into midfield, steps ahead of them. That's going to take some work to do. The wing backs have been Trent Alexander-Arnold and Fran Garcia. Fran Garcia has been excellent, and I've always liked. I think I made it clear last season that I thought he should have been ahead of Ferland Mondi on a regular basis, but wasn't. And the injury to Mondi and Fran Garcia, and they never really had a regular left back in that position. Camavinga played there sometimes as well because of injuries. So I think that both of those are suited. The thing with Trent Alexander-Arnold is he's playing as the right wing back, but I've been asked the question: will Danny Carvajal take his place when he's fit? I think he will. I think I think Danny Carvajal is a talisman. He's a leader. It's going to take him a while to get fit, so I don't anticipate this side of Christmas it being a problem for Xabi Alonso. I think he'll be easing back in for Danny Carvajal. Trent Alexander-Arnold can do what he does. Fabulous football. I just wish when Trent Alexander-Arnold goes forward, and that is more often than not, and his capabilities of crossing and crossfield passing and stuff like that are absolutely fabulous. I just wish when he lost possession, or the possession was lost by Real Madrid, that he would show the
urgency.
Yeah, the urgency that we will see from Danny Carvajal.
Yeah.
And that we see already from Fran Garcia to get back. So a lot of times it happens. The ball's given away by Real Madrid, and there isn't any urgency from Alexander-Arnold to get back. I know there's an element of I've got cover because there's three centre backs, but that is so easy to rectify for Xabi Alonso. You can highlight it. You can shine the clip and say, look, we lost the ball here, or you lost the ball here. It's a 20-yard quick run to get back, which might stop us chasing 60 yards back because you haven't made that decision. I don't want to say effort, because I don't think it's a lack of effort. I think it's just the decision-making of I need to get back in as some sort of right back, right wing back, not as a winger that's caught upfield like Vinicius. If it's Vinicius and he doesn't chase back, no problem at all with that. But when you're one of the designated defenders of the team, that urgency to rush back. So that can easily be rectified. Will it be? I don't know. Why did Liverpool not rectify that?
Yeah.
And when he gets back in position, he's got the capabilities to defend as a fullback or as a defender. So I think that's got to be tightened up. Even in midfield, there's slight, I'm looking around and I think, where's Gula playing? He's played really well. He's on the ball a lot. He works hard. Valverde seems to be the only central midfielder because Bellingham plays higher up the pitch and he's playing on the right and he's drifting over onto the left as he likes to do. Gonzalo Garcia is the obvious centre-forward, but then I'm not sure the position of Vinicius because he still drifts and likes to play in that favourite side of the pitch on the left, which then clogs up the position of Fran Garcia or whoever's going to be playing left wing back. So it's kind of, I could kind of see this system with Vinicius and Mbappe up front, and Mbappe will drift around and he'll play a more central role. But then I think Vinicius has to do similar as well. And then that means one drop short, one running behind, they're both lightning quick. And they can do that as a pair. And I think this system lends itself to a two-man strike force. But it's going to be a problem if Vinicius still, his instinct is to play on the left. So I think it needs some tinkering. It needs some work. But what I think we can all agree that we've seen Real Madrid play a different brand of football to what they were under Ancelotti.
Yeah, because it was getting a bit ragged, wasn't it? And a bit slow. So, yeah.
It was relying on individual brilliance.
Yeah.
Which they've got an abundance of. And I don't want to criticise Ancelotti, but you can see the differences. Now, is this going to be better? Is Xabi Alonso going to win numerous Champions Leagues? Let's wait and see. So I don't want to lump in and go, Xabi Alonso is brilliant, Ancelotti was rubbish, this is so much better. What I would say is it's different.
Sometimes it needs a change, as good as
you are.
Because Xabi Alonso could be wildly successful and still not get close to what Ancelotti has achieved.
Exactly.
So you've got to be reasonable about where we set the bars. But I enjoyed watching.
And it did need a change.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does. This did need a change. And Housen has been good.
Yeah.
Sent off, didn't he? He's been good. Tchouaméni is perfect for that position. There are other centre-backs at the club. Militao's to come back as well. It's Camavinga to come back into the squad when he's back from injury. They've got the players. Bellingham, I think, needed a position nailed down, a responsibility nailed down, because under Ancelotti, it was, you know, you're a brilliant footballer.
So
you see it.
Would you have him? Where are you nailing him down to? As far forward as he is now, or would you rather he was back playing nearer Valverde?
I would rather him back nearer playing Valverde. I would. I think if you're going to play the 3-5-2, which loosely it is, we can call it. Yeah, I think it is that. Then, I mean, there is a position, but it means Vinicius not playing. If you play, you could play a 3-4-2-1 and have two number 10s behind the main striker, which would then suit Bellingham. But I think in the way that they're playing, then I think Valverde and Bellingham, and then we've got Camavinga as well, that could come in and play. Odegaard is playing really well. So I think that's one of those little discrepancies that needs to be sorted out. A lot of the time, it's not going to be a problem because Real Madrid are dominating possession. Most of the players in the attacking half of the pitch. But there are times in these games that I've seen Valverde is the only midfielder. And he's not a holding midfielder, Fede Valverde. Mm. You don't want him sitting in front of...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Three-man central defence. You want Fede Valverde bombing around and doing what he does. So it probably does need at least a double pivot in there.
Yeah. Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Where does he fit in? How much do they get for him if he doesn't fit in?
It's an issue. And where does he fits in now, if they're playing this system, as one of the two strikers.
Yeah.
But with the emergence of Gonzalo Garcia, Mbappe and Vinicius are the clear and obvious ones that are going to start as the front pairing. Rodrigo isn't a wing-back. Could he play there? Probably against a lot of the games for Real Madrid, he could play as a wing-back. Mm. Does he want to? Probably not. Does he want to play on a regular basis? Clearly. Do I see him leaving? Possibly.
Mm.
And I think it would be his choice, I think.
Yeah. Because they've spent a load of money on Mastan Tuono. And I know he's a kid, but presumably he's going to play some football, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you can't keep everyone. I mean, we're talking about some here. David Alaba's not in the squad. He's not on the roster in this tournament. He's another one to be added to the list of centre-backs that could be playing for Real Madrid. So they've got a fabulous squad. They really have. Rodrigo, and it's a World Cup year, you probably want to be playing. He's a fantastic player. He doesn't really sit on the bench and run the risk of not participating as much as normal, missing out on the World Cup. Although Ancelotti is the manager of Brazil, probably will pick him anyway, but you want to be starring for Real Madrid or someone going into the World Cup and then starring and starting for Brazil.
Yeah. So Wednesday evening European time, against PSG, which it should be great, shouldn't it? PSG, terrific team, haven't they?
Definitely.
Yes. Right then. So let's have a look at the transfers. Or should we actually Oviedo? Up yes. At last. Yes.
Exactly.
There's a sort of long awaited. I've got to say as well. You're talking about empty stadiums. If I hope they can fill that. The enthusiasm, the noise, the passion for the club.
All three that come up, we're going to get that, actually, I think. Levante was always improving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Elche is a decent watch in terms of the stadium and the fan base, and now Oviedo. So it's a lovely story. The Santa Cazorla part of it is just
40-year-old. He's not signed on for next season, is he? He's still up in the air, I believe, unless I've missed that. But yeah, so and they've signed Solomon Rondon, haven't they? Which does not, you know, we've got plenty of veteran strikers in La Liga, as frequently discussed. So there's another one in there. Who knows? He might be able to bang.
And I didn't realise Portillo was there.
Yeah,
and he played a big part in them getting out. I've seen the news that he's not being kept on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the former Malaga player and been around La Liga for years. I didn't realise that he was at the club as well. So two veterans helping them finally get to the top division. I'm really pleased with the outcome. That Racing Santander would have been a good story as well if they'd come up. Mirandés, and I'm not normally like this, but I didn't want them to come up.
Right.
90% of their team is on loan.
Yeah.
So then they would have to start again because the loan players probably weren't going to be good enough for La Liga. So they'd go out and get another load of players on loan. And you kind of end up with this mishmash of La Liga players that we know that have been released. I just didn't think the finances were going to be in place for Mirandés to get there and compete. I think for the three that have come up, hopefully they can all compete. And we don't get a team that's a write-off from the start.
Yeah, right then, let's do some transfer news. Let's do Atletico, shall we? Because they've had some ins and outs and some interesting ones. So Baena, €42 million. I don't know if
that's cheap. I think it's quite cheap, isn't it? Not for La Liga.
Yeah.
For footballing, I've got me Premier League goggles on.
That's the problem, isn't it? As soon as you start looking through the Premier League lens.
You're looking about, £35 million?
Yeah.
Is it decent age? Been spectacular in the last couple of seasons for Villarreal. Broke through into the national team as well, there and thereabouts. It's a good price, I think, for Athletic.
Yeah. And they've signed Ruggeri. I think you said Ruggeri, the left Italian left wing back, which again, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? I think. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion about it. I didn't watch much Italian football last season, so I don't know. But it seems to make sense for their squad.
Well, he's 22, and they've paid €17 million, so he can also play left-sided centre-back. So it kind of... the three central defenders at Atletico Madrid, he kind of fits the bill for either one, the left-sided centre-back or the left wing-back role. So, yeah, that would be interesting. I'd like you. I don't know an awful lot about him, but it doesn't seem to be a bad purchase at €17 million.
Yeah, and they got money for Vermeeren from Leipzig.
Yeah.
Which was presumably, I mean, I don't know, presumably that was in the loan deal that he had there anyway.
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a weird transfer, isn't it? They've done this over the years, Atleti, where they sign a player, you never see him.
Exactly.
Can't declare him a failure.
Well, do you know what? And we have to mention the tragic circumstances of Diogo Jota.
Yes,
and I saw a picture of him in an Atleti shirt, and Atleti sending their condolences. And I missed that. Well, I didn't. He did sign for them, but never played for them. And so that was, I couldn't process that the other morning. I came down, put the telly on, and it took a while for me to. It was tragic. But again, Vermeer was one of those that did play a couple of games, but didn't make the breakthrough out on loan, and now they've sold him and got some money. I guess it's a real dilemma for most teams anyway. This, you know, financial rules that are in place, you have to sell. It must be difficult for some directors of football because you're balancing the books, so you don't overspend and you fall foul of the laws. It doesn't appear to be for some clubs, though. If you've got the money, you just take the punishment and pay another fine. What the hell is that about? I think it was at Chelsea this week that paid a huge fine in Aston Villa.
Chelsea just seemed to... Because they spent another 200 and something million.
Exactly.
And you think, well, I thought you'd signed all the players you wanted and they were, they're all on long-term contracts and everything, isn't it? It's baffling, isn't it? I'd love the authorities to explain it. Because there are various football experts... football finance experts. I'm never quite sure that they I don't think anyone really understands it.
That's what we're talking about. They've sold, they've let players go, high earners go. On the, so you can see them trying to balance the books to keep in on the right side of the laws in La Liga and in Europe. And then you read that Aston Villa and Chelsea and 30 million. 30 million is nothing. You're going to break the rules and it's only a 30 million fine. And I say only 30 million. Then these clubs are...
Regard that as a, you're paying tax anyway. So you can just add it onto your tax, can't you? Just
So that's why I'm looking at these and saying, well, Atleti bought him, but they've sold him. They've let them go. And they've probably got another one to sell. Rodrigo Riquelme. That's a really good signing for... That's a good deal for... I was going to say for everyone, I'm not sure it's a great deal for Atleti, €8 million. He's a really talented footballer. Betis is probably his level, and that's a good level. He'll play more regular. He didn't play much last season for Atletico, and I think Betis have got a steal there for €8 million. And they've sold Jesus Rodriguez to Como, half a season, broke into the team, spectacular at the start. Then you start looking deeper, I start looking deeper and say, well, has this young player got? Yep, he's a dribbler and he's a classic Sevilla winger from that part of the country. Then you start looking, thinking, well, I'm not sure he knows what he's doing defensively. I'm not sure if he's aware of his defensive responsibilities. Watch him in the final against Chelsea. And those concerns I had, when you're looking deeper, when you're looking at a player that's not just a young kid playing in the first team, but potentially going to be going for big money. So I think the fact that when he comes on against Chelsea, a couple of goals came down his side, he really wasn't switched on defensively. For them to get that money in such a short space of time, and then to bring in Rodrigo Riquelme, is a good deal for Real Betis.
And while we're doing
a bit more for than €8 million, if I'm being honest, from Atleti.
So while we're doing these sort of food chain stories, Malero to Villarreal is again. So they end up with money. I mean, they already had money in this PSR balance book thing, we think, don't we? Because I know they spent a lot of money the end of the window last time.
It was, right at the last minute.
Yeah, but they'd been accumulating it for a couple of years, hadn't they?
Exactly. That was my concern last summer. I thought they were letting down Marcelino.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the space of a week, 2 weeks, all their targets they had lined up, they all fell into place and they've had a fabulous campaign and looking forward to Champions League football. So again, losing Alex Baiani was really important for them. So it's going to be interesting to see Malero, to see how similar players, not exactly the same, not like for like, but it's going to be interesting to see Malero in a better team than Las Palmas as well. See if he flourishes.
So Celta got 27 mil euros for Strand Larsen, which was again presumably triggered because he played a lot for Wolves. Well, at Wolves, didn't he, in the season gone, but decent amount of money.
Lopez as well has gone to Wolves.
Yeah.
For over 20-odd million. Again, another young player that burst onto the scene that had some good attributes. Clubs now, they don't mess about.
Yeah.
I can understand it. If you're Wolves, listen, George Mendes is running Wolves and George Mendes is the person that decides who goes to Wolves and who doesn't. Yeah. He decides who is the director of football at Wolves. Decides who they sell. So it's not a major surprise, but I think it's a lot. It's well over 20 million for a young player that burst onto the scene, came onto the scene, scored a couple of goals. Not sure where his best position is. I think Wolves seem to think that the Wolves fans seem to think he's replacing Cunha. He's not. He's not that type of player. Really young, talented player, but again, a lot of money. So Celta fans were annoyed to start with. It appeared Fer Lopez didn't want to go because he's come through in the ranks at Celta and was playing, enjoying himself. They got European football. It was too good an opportunity for Celta to turn down.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
What he did last year, their best team at the end of the season, he wasn't in it. Because I didn't know he was a wide player. Is he a number 10? Is he a centre forward? But clubs, they really sort of jump onto it when a young player breaks through, and it's, if you use it right, if you're Celta and you get a young player like this and you can make the money, then you got the Strand Larsen money to come in as well this season from Wolves. It'd be interesting to see how much work they do now in the transfer window.
Where otherwise Zubimendi's gone, which again is no great surprise. 65 million euros to Arsenal, right? So who's is that fair? Who's the winner? Who's done the best deal?
It remains to be seen. I think Arsenal supporters need to know what they're getting, because I did see Mikel Merino get some quite considerable amount of criticism last year, because it appeared Arsenal supporters thought he was a holding midfielder.
Right, yeah.
And he's not, never has been. And as the season progressed, he ended up playing up front, didn't he, for Arsenal, and doing well. Well, that's what we know from Mikel Merino. With Arsenal now, with Zubimendi, he is pretty good at everything. But he's not going to, in terms of a holding pivot, central defensive midfield player. But if Arsenal supporters start saying, oh, you know, he's not scoring, he's not contributing in terms of assists and stuff like that, then it's a lot of money. But
I went on an Arsenal thing the other day, and I said, listen, you don't put him in your fantasy league team, Zubimendi.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not there for goals and assists and stuff. He's there, he's all intelligence, isn't he? To help you dominate games.
And it's interesting the choice he's made. I don't know whether he had any other choices. The fact Mikel Merino is there and it might have influenced him, having turned down Liverpool last season. It probably clearly, in hindsight, it was an error, wasn't it? Liverpool going and won the league. Real Sociedad have a desperate campaign. And this season, he probably thinks in the summer, if someone else comes in for me, then I'll have to take that opportunity. Yeah. And he has, and I was going to say I wish him well at Arsenal, but I don't.
You hope they have to sell him for 5 million.
Oh, yeah, he's a stinker. Yeah, I'm joking. No, I'm not.
Right, all of which leaves us with Barcelona to discuss. We haven't got into it, hasn't been the most dramatic of transfer windows yet for Barcelona, but there's plenty of time yet, obviously.
Jean Garcia, I'm fascinated how this is going to turn out, because he's not going to. He had a choice for the price he went for, 25 million. I can see why Barcelona did it. At 25 million, there would have been a half a dozen of top clubs around Europe where he would have gone in as first choice goalkeeper. No doubt whatsoever. But he's gone to Barcelona, and Ter Stegen is there. What's happened to Szczesny?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Has he stayed?
Good question. Sure. Let's look him up. But yeah.
But Ter Stegen is making all the right noises, saying he's not going anywhere and he wants to stay. And kind of get where he's coming from. Now they're back in training now. He must get a sense of what's going to happen. I think if he realises that he's going to be number two goalkeeper to Jean Garcia and not play, then there's going to be trouble ahead, and maybe he will depart. But we know it's difficult. He's been there a long time. We know it's difficult to move players on from Barcelona. I mean, if he's of the attitude, no, I think I'm better than Jean Garcia, and he might have a valid point. But the Barcelona supporters in the last 6 weeks of the season, when Ter Stegen appeared back again, they went for him big time. It's a player with a really serious injury who served them so well over the years, won numerous trophies, and been really important as well, all of a sudden become unpopular. And now it seems to be a popular choice that Jean Garcia is going to be the number one to stick and sit on the bench. So there could be trouble.
Chesney's talking about a new 2-year deal. I don't know. It doesn't have to be 2-year, does it?
I can see where he's coming from. There are worse places to live.
Yeah, yeah.
than Barcelona when you've already retired once.
Yeah. Why do they need to give him a 2-year deal though?
No.
Because the bought Joan Garcia.
Unless the second goes.
But even then, you don't need a 2-year deal, do you? You can sign Chesney on every season.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
It looks like Ter Stegen. So in the normal world, right, if everything was easy with transfer deals, Ter Stegen would then leave, wouldn't he? He'd go back to Germany or something, or some team would have him. But it's not that easy, is it? Because he'll be on a huge salary.
Exactly.
You can't just sort of drop that kind of transfer quickly these days. That has to be planned
unless
for.
Unless the player wants to go, unless he sees the writing on the wall and thinks, well, I'm not going to sit here and be second choice.
Yeah.
Who's looking for a goalkeeper? It might be a loan deal initially because there's the issue of his recent injury as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for a club to lump in and pay to. What do you pay for him?
Yeah. I suppose
he's a fantastic goalkeeper.
But from Barca's point of view, I think they probably thought, listen, he's available, right, the guy is here, 25 mil, not a massive fee for a goalkeeper. Yeah. And could they have taken a gamble on not signing a goalkeeper? Given that Chesney was okay. Like you said, though, he doesn't make many saves, but he was never a disaster in any...
He was at the start.
Got away with it. The verdict. Ter Stegen injured all season. Again, I'm with you. I find this the sudden hatred for him on social media weird. But he's been injured. We don't know how fit he's going to come back. We don't know. They couldn't go into a campaign without a goalkeeper. With two unknown goalkeepers, and I know they're both hugely experienced, but we don't know how good either Ter Stegen or Chesney is going to be next season.
Yeah, if you've got the money, suddenly Barcelona's appear to be, they are appearing to get over their money problems. And I get it. Jean Garcia is a fabulous goalkeeper. He really is. So I don't see, it's like Mamardashvili. What's going to happen to Mamardashvili? Why is he going to be second choice at Liverpool?
That was always a weird deal, wasn't it? It was sort of just kicked the can down the road for a year, didn't they?
Exactly, and he's now gone to brilliant one of the biggest football clubs in the world. He's getting a lot more money than he was at Valencia, but he could have gone to another big club in Europe, and he could have got paid a lot of money from another big club in Europe, and been number one choice and prove himself to be one of the best goalkeepers in the world. If he plays for Liverpool in the Premier League or over Alisson, which I doubt it, he would be one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League. But for him to be sat on the bench is going to be criminal, to be honest. From his point of view and from Liverpool's point of view, Mamardashvili, you know, same as Jean Garcia, if he's gone there and doesn't play, that's criminal. So it's going to be interesting to see.
So what are we saying? Are we saying Joan Garcia will be number one, Ter Stegen should, if he's fully fit, get a loan? Is that... Makes sense.
I think Barcelona would be hard pressed to get someone to pay. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I have no idea what the fee for Ter Stegen would be.
Yeah,
I've no idea. Is it 20 million? Is it 50 million? Is it free?
Yeah,
because of his wages.
Yeah,
you know, it's because of his injury record, not long term injury record.
Yeah, but over his career, he's been fine, hasn't he? Yeah.
This recent injury record. If you're a club. I mean, it's got to be a club that he's attracted to. He's not going to leave Barcelona and go to Getafe, or go to England and go to Bournemouth. But they might need a goalkeeper. So it's going to take a lot of joining up for Barcelona to get a fee and he get the wages he wants and play for a team that he wants to in the part of the world that he wants to live and stuff like that. So it's just going to be, that could be really awkward. Something like that can bring down a season, to be honest. I mean, we all know Ter Stegen's personality. He's quite forthright, very confident, bordering on arrogant. He's an excellent goalkeeper with the ball at his feet, modern goalkeeper. He's all round goalkeeper and attributes are good. And if he's not playing, he could be trouble. Every time Joan Garcia makes a mistake, then a bit likewise, if Ter Stegen plays and there's a mistake made by Ter Stegen, the focus is going to be on the goalkeeper and the bench and stuff like that. So this could be problematic, I think, for for Barcelona?
Bit of more Barcelona transfer in out. Ansu Fati to Monaco on loan.
The veteran 22-year-old. It seems that way.
All down to whether he plays, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's got to play. And hopefully that's factored in that he knows what the squad is at Monaco. Barcelona know what Monaco need. They're not just taking a player based on name and we'll take him, see if he plays. It's got to be, hopefully that was factored in that when he goes to Monaco on loan, they need that player. They need a player like Ansu Fati. Hopefully he plays on a regular basis. I'd love for him to get back to his best. As I say, he's 22 years of age. Barcelona will be hoping at very worst he plays on a regular basis, scores goals, and someone buys him. Monaco buy him, or someone else comes in and buys him. Or is that good that Barcelona will take him back and we see the Ansu Fati that we saw?
That was obviously the plan for Brighton, wasn't it? And then he didn't play, did he? And he didn't get going. So,
and they probably didn't factor in who's playing for Brighton, who have they got in that position, who can play there, will he play, is it likely he's going to play, do they need Ansu Fati? The answer to all that was, we don't know. And in some cases, they didn't need Ansu Fati. Yeah. So that's the problem.
Needs to go somewhere. In that circumstance, you need to go somewhere where they're desperate for you, not somewhere where they think, oh, yeah, go on then, we'll have him. Yeah,
That's exactly as it was, Brian.
Yeah.
And that hopefully everyone's learned their lesson. The camp that represent Ansu Fati, they've looked in and gone, but they haven't got a player like you, and they do need a player like you, and you will play rather than...
Yeah, but our lack of knowledge of Monaco comes in here. We'll find out, I guess. Yeah. So deals that Barcelona haven't done, Nico Williams. But you're not convinced. You think it might happen some point anyway, whether it should or not.
I understand why people want Nico Williams, and I understand why Barcelona would want a player as good as Nico Williams. But Rafinha was better than Nico Williams last year. And Rafinha was, there was no one better than Rafinha last year, and he plays on that side, Lamine Yamal on the other side. So, if Nico Williams was to join Barcelona, where does Rafinha go? Into midfield? But they've got an abundance of midfield players anyway. And there's no room for Gavi last season after coming back from injury. He couldn't force his way into the team. Casado came through the ranks. Frankie de Jong showed real good form against Wolves. Pedri was exceptional. Marc Bernal will be fit at the beginning of the season. So I couldn't... So Rafinha dropping into a midfield role or playing behind the striker where Dani Olmo plays, I couldn't work that one out. Mm. The fact that Nico Williams is, how long was the deal? Was it 8 years or 10? Or it's a hell of a long contract with Athletic Club.
Yeah, but it will have
surprising.
Yeah, you'll still be able to get out of that, though, won't he? That's
I think double the buyout clause from 50 to 100.
Yeah,
I don't know the mechanics of how a transfer. I mean, Supermendi's gone to Arsenal for more than his buyout clause because I can spread the cost of the payments.
Yeah.
Is this a similar thing with Athletic Club, who don't need money? But it does protect them. They've said a 50 million buyout clause, it's now 100. It might mean someone pays 75 over 4 years instead of 50 plus all the taxes that come with it, which made clubs reluctant to pay it all out in one go because of the financial implications to balancing the books and to lump out 50 odd million plus tax, took it to something like 65 million in one hit. Not many clubs can do that. They've got the money, but to balance the books, it's difficult. So it'd be interesting to see.
So, is your general view that it's a good deal, not done, as it were?
I just wonder where he would have fitted in. A brilliant footballer.
Yeah.
And see him in Lamine Yamal as they play for Spain, playing for Barcelona. But Rafinha's...
It looks Galactico as a signing, I thought, as in you're chasing the player because he's exceptional, as opposed to you're thinking what we need for this squad.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's a transfer that won't go away. It keeps happening. Last summer, it nearly happened. This summer, there's been talk of it again. It probably won't go away until one day he's wearing the blue and red of Barcelona.
But
Right.
I've also seen Rooney Bargy linked. It was on... I'm not going to start naming famous transfer speculators. So, because Rooney Bargee was this kid who came in, I think he played in the Champions League like 15 or something and was, sensational. And now he's going to be out of contract at Copenhagen. And Barcelona reputedly ready to pick him up quite cheap. I mean, I haven't followed his career, so.
No, and
Yeah.
it might, when you say relatively cheap, so
3 or 4 mil,
60
people
million.
talking. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's, yeah. It's hard to name a transfer fee, isn't it, these days? Because there's so much we don't know about how the balancing of the books works. I mean, people have always made up transfer stories, haven't they? There's always been nonsense in newspapers. Used to, I mean, classically, was it the Sunday People linked Liverpool with Didier Baptiste, and the twist in the tale was that he was a fictional character from a TV program, and so there's always been a lot of nonsense talked in transfers, but who knows? They might get to Rooney Bargee,
Yeah,
and
but if
then
it's the right price and he's a good age and there's
oh, he's a
potential,
kid still.
they're not sure of young players, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's as long as it's not too much money. And I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to this season. Loads of good young players, not just at Barcelona, but I understand there are more young players at Barcelona that are worthy of breaking in. So their pre-season is going to be different. I don't know what their pre-season is at the moment. I haven't checked that out. But I'm hoping that last season Marc Casado came in, Marc Bernal came in pre-season and then became part of the first team squad. I do believe, I understand there's another two or three that are laying there waiting for an opportunity pre-season. We've seen Hansi Flick has put them in. So likewise, similar to Gonzalo Garcia at Real Madrid. So I'm looking forward to seeing what other young players make a breakthrough this season.
Be nice if we could watch it on television. That would be
I know it's
be a bonus. Also, a
yeah,
couple we won't do this. We'll come
bit of
back and do it.
everything.
We'll come back and do another transfer roundup. But Johnny Otto is back. Kike
Yeah, I saw
Garcia has
that.
moved. So yeah, there's loads more transfer news that we haven't done. Everybody, we'll keep you
Yeah,
waiting.
see that.
Patreons, thank you very much for your continued support. Much appreciate everything you do for us. And we'll come and have a chat about Real Madrid and the World Club Cup very soon. So yeah, take care, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.